Aren't you glad that you know Him today? Aren't you glad that you know Him today? I'm so glad that Jesus Christ is concerned about our every circumstance and our every need. Praise the wonderful name of the Lord. If you have your Bibles this morning, and you should. Hello? Romans chapter 13. Beginning at verse number 11. Thank you, precious Jesus. Romans 13, beginning at verse 11. As you stand for the reading of God's Word. And the reason we do that is we reverence God's Word. God's Word's holy. Amen. Amen. God's Word's holy. Verse 11, chapter 13 of Romans says, "And that, knowing the time," I want to know, "knowing the time, it's your responsibility to know where we're at." Amen. I do my best to gather the information that God's given me and share with you. There was a tribe called Issachar in Israel that was unique because they knew the times that they was in. They adjusted, they worked, and they sought God in those times. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time that we wake out of sleep. So if anybody here is sleeping this morning, it's time to wake up. "For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed." Not your salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ, but the salvation that we're fixing to get out of here. Amen. We're fixing to leave. This is the final hour. It's the final time. Verse 12 says, "The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the whole armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, drunkenness, nor chamberling, or wantonness, nor strife, and envy." You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I have a short video clip I'm going to play, and some of you will appreciate it more than others. But stay with me in my thought this morning. So my message is today, church, we're burning daylight. And all we can see is stars, but we're burning daylight. The Bible tells us the time is far spent. It's time to wake out of our sleep. It's time to get something done for the glory of God. It's time to recognize and realize that we are in the last time. And though things look perilous around about us, the future is very bright for the child of God. In fact, the future for the child of God has never looked any brighter or any more promising and never looked any more near. Amen. So the title of my message today is, "Pardon me, sir and ma'am, but we're burning daylights." This pandemic is not the only reason we've seen such a change in our culture. Stay with me this morning, please. But it has definitely been a factor. Make no mistake about it. The strategy of this pandemic has been deliberate and precise. And because of the uncertainty of things, people no longer even think the way that they used to think. By the way, I want to ask you a question. Do you ever remember a time when anything was certain? Besides death and taxes? You're right. We can look back over our life and we can find and realize that there ain't nothing been certain. Life has always had its challenges and its uncertainties. And we've always trusted in God. The uncertainties has brought us to a crossroad. And we didn't even realize what changes had transpired so drastically in our lives. And the sad part about it, we have cowered down to those cultural changes. For the next few minutes or so, I want us to look at six things. And I'm sure there's many, many more, but six things that the American culture has changed in this last half century. I want to go over them quickly, and then I want to take each one for just a few moments. And like Brother Hewitt said last week, he had, I think, 4 points. I got six, but don't get too worried. Number one of the changes of the culture, listen, the culture of our country, marriage was practically universal and divorce was extraordinarily rare. Just a few short years ago. Out of wedlock births almost never ever happened. Illegal drugs were rare and considered exotic. Religious values were widely held and shared. It was not sociably acceptable for a man to lay idle and not have a job or work. Boy, that'll preach, won't it? Television was much more influential than it is today to the positive. And I'll qualify that a little bit more a little bit later. Just a few short years ago, a man by the name of Charles Murray wrote a book called Coming Apart. And it's no secret, and it's not something that we don't already see, that our America is coming apart. Economically, socially, and culturally, it's coming apart. In the early 60s, it scarcely resembles what the 2019 and 2020 resembled. Our social culture perspective has went downhill drastically. We, church, are experiencing a fundamental cultural transformation, and it has not been good. As I mentioned to you earlier, these six things, I want to break them down just a little bit. Marriage was practically universal and divorce was extraordinarily rare. In 1963, current population survey that divorce a person, there was only 3.5 or rarely was there a divorce in America. People worked it out and stuck together. Like 3.5 in the early 60s was a household with a divorced person. 1.6% in the early 60s was a person in the household that was separated or single. Today, according to the governmental statistics, and I'm sure this is a tad bit out of date, but over 28% of children live in a single parent home. Now, if you're here today and you're a single parent, I'm not putting you down. Don't even think about that for a moment. We want to embrace you. We want to help you. I'm talking about a cultural time that we're living in that has changed so much, changed our culture. And as a church of the living God, we need to be doing something to build that cultural back to the basics of God's holy word. God told His people to seek for the old paths and to walk therein. They shook their head and shrugged their shoulders at God and said, we're not going to walk in them. That's exactly where we are in this culture, where we are today. Even though America was a nation that once held true to those values, today we have slipped them off and put them aside. But God, help us today to bring our cultural back to a place of a God-biblical position. Again, I'm not downing you if you're divorced. I'm not downing you if you're in a single parent. I'm just simply telling you we are here to support you, undergird you, and with God being our help, we want to change our culture back to like it was. Yes. Out of wedlock birth almost never happened. Only about 3% in the early 60s was there an illegitimate birth. The birth rate for unmarried women in our world today has reached a high of 40% in our society and in our culture. Illegal drugs were rare. When I was a kid growing up, the only pot I knew was the one that was out by the chicken house. That's it. Now it seems like it's everywhere, and our government has legalized it, and on every corner there's another pot farm. Illegal drugs was rare and considered exotic. In the early 60s, there was only 18 arrests per 1,000 violations concerning drugs. Alcohol was a little bit more than that. It was around almost 1,300 per 100,000. While in today's world, or in 2010, the arrest was about 100 per 1,000. And in 2019, there was 1,558,862 arrests, drug-related arrests. Our culture has been changed. We have been desensitized. The sad part about it is it's infiltrated the church, and we have been asleep while daylight was burning. Religious values were widely held and shared. According to the Gallup poll of 1963, 1% of all of those who responded did not have a religious preference, but they attended a church service. Let me rephrase that, because they didn't use a church service. They attended a worship service within the last week. Almost every one of them had attended a worship service within the last week. It is noted that 1 in 3 practicing Christians have stopped attending churches since COVID-19. 1 in 3. I heard a preacher the other day who had talked to several other preachers, and 50% of their congregations of strong belief Christians have not returned to the sanctuary, to the worship service. I'm telling you, church, our culture has been drastically changed, and we've been asleep. We've been asleep. It's time that the church woke up. It's time that the church shook themselves. Listen, there may not be nothing for breakfast but a biscuit and some bacon, but get your biscuit and you're baking together, and let's get busy for God. Amen. It was not sociably acceptable for a man to be idle. 90% in the early 60s, 98% of men in their 30s and 40s was in the workforce. 2014, labor predicted rate that 35 to 44 age, 90.5%. It had declined. And 45 to 54 age, 85.6% was only working. Today, the month of January, in the year that we're living in, unemployment is up to 7.1%. It was not acceptable. Bible tells us if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. Let's move on with the cultural change. Number 6, television was much more of an influence than it is today. And that goes without saying. Our TV world today, along with our social media, is so filled with garbage and filth and trash that it's not even fit to watch. It is perverting our generation. It is changing our culture to believe in ungodly characteristics of a Christian life. In the early 60s, top rated television show was the Beverly Hillbillies. Wish we had some more grannies today, don't you? Point comparison. One of the top-rated primetime TV programs in 2018 was Rosanna. She needs to be barred. I just come up with that. I'm going to preach here in a minute. Stay with me, okay? These statistics was not evident, today's statistics was not evident in the life that back then, that life was even better in 63 than it was in 2019. But the culture was more cohesive togetherness. We believed in one nation under God. We believe that the Bible was inerrant and it would touch the hearts and the lives of men. I believe today, church, that we need to get together. If I might repeat myself again, we need to quit burning daylight and get busy for the things of God. I think that more than ever before, there is a strategic plan to not only change the church culture, but to rewrite it or eliminate it altogether. As you all know, in this pandemic that we have been in, there has been areas of our country, United States of America, that the churches have been under attack that has nothing to do with relating to this pandemic. It is amazing. Isn't it totally amazing that they leave the bars open, the strip joints open, they leave all these other because they're essential business, but we're trying to close down the churches? Isn't it amazing that the honky-tonks are still functioning, but we can't sing in church? And I thank God that we've got a governor so far that has kept his hands off of the church. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? We can go to Walmart, Harps. We can go to the mall, run up and down the malls, but we can't come to the house of God. We can have birthday parties, anniversary parties, and every other kind of party, but we can't come to church. It's because there's a strategic plan to change the church culture and get us to a place that we're no longer have the desire to even come to God's house. Amen. Listen to me closely for the next few minutes. Our society, our culture is trying to infiltrate the church culture. They are trying to rewrite it or to eliminate it. And although this virus is real, listen to me. Although this virus is real, so is the other viruses that we've lived through. I've lived through the measles, the mumps, the chicken pox, and probably several things that I don't even know about. And most people say I'm still normal. And although this virus is real, we have played into the fear factor. You know that game they used to have on TV, the fear factor, and they'd challenge people. It wasn't too long ago they had a fear factor in the youth group, and they was eating all kinds of stuff. We have played into the fear factor, church. You may not shout today, but it's going to give you a reason to come to church to shout. We have played into the fear factor so that we would be led into isolation. Does not the Bible tell us? We were just a part of that lesson not too long ago. The Bible tells us that two are better than one. I think I remember hearing somebody preach about that. Two is better than one. And yet we have been led into this fear factor. We have been led into isolation. We have been led into worry. We have been led into laziness and complacency. God, help us to shake ourselves. I wish I had somebody that would ring the dinner bell and kick the beds of those that are sleeping and say, let's get up. It's time that we wake up. It's time that we serve God. We're burning daylight. I'm going to break it down for you. You know what worry is? It's like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it don't get you nowhere. We have given way to anxiety. We have given way to uneasiness. And when we do that, worry allows one's mind to dwell on the difficulties of life instead of thinking on the good things that God has given us. Amen. Proverbs chapter 12 verse 25 says, an anxious heart weighs a man down. Did you hear me? Those of you that deal with anxiety and you deal with worry, the Bible says it weights a man down. It pushes you down. You don't want to see nobody. You don't want to talk to nobody. You don't want to come to church. You don't want to affiliate. But God said to come together as much the more as you see the day approaching. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. If you're in quarantine, you're in isolation, you can't hear kind words. And if you're listening to the news all the time, I guarantee you ain't listening to no kind words. It is morbid. It is sick. Get into the Word of God. Let's go back to the Word of God. We know the mess that the Democrats has put us in and the Republicans. We know the mess that we are in today. Quit concentrating on the mess. Think about the good things that God has for us. Meditate on the Word of God. Put on some good gospel music. Let the Word of God saturate your... I need some shouters right about here. Let's saturate our mind and our heart with the good things that God has for us. Amen. Psalms 34 and 4, I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and He delivered me out of all my fears. We're too stinking worried about what somebody is going to do or say next. If we will call upon the Lord, He will deliver you out of your fears, put your feet upon the solid rock, and we're going to be working for God in daylight. We have come into a society not only where worry has captivated people, I mean literally worry has absolutely put people in prison. It has also caused laziness to creep into the bones. It has put people in our world, in our society, and we know that there has unemployment has been created by some of the others. But laziness causes one to be unwilling to work and even resist using energy. There ain't no need. There ain't no sense in it. I'm not doing nothing. I'm just going to throw up my hands and quit. Wrong, 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 wrong. We've got so much to thank God for. We've got so much to come to God's house for. I'm here to tell you I'm glad that we can come to the house of God. And I can see you. And I understand the weariness and the laziness and the worry that people has been caught up in. But church of the living God, we need to pray and break that chain and break that demonic power of laziness and worrisome. And we need to tell that devil to go back to the pits of hell where he come from and claim victory. And let's have church one more time. I said, let's have church one more time. It seems like that we even come to the house of God and we're just kind of like, okay, God, if you can do anything for me, just put it in my pocket. I'm here to tell you, God ain't going to just put it in your pocket. God wants you to rise up and praise Him and give Him glory. Proverbs 19 and 11 said, the way of a sluggard is blocked with thorns, and the path of the upright is a highway. Way of a sluggard is blocked with thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. Proverbs 6 and 9 says, how long will you lie there, you sluggard? How long are you going to burn daylight? Huh? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of your hands to rest. Poverty will come on you like a bandit and sarcasm like an armed man. Can I tell you, when we get to that place, we become sarcastic about everybody and everything. How many of you notice your spouse being sarcastic? If you would just bring your spouse up front here, and we'll pray for them. Hey, I am here to tell you, when you get in that atmosphere where you're worrisome, when you get in that atmosphere that you're lazy, when you get to that position, you feel like there's no need to do anything, and you get sarcastic. Hello? You're sarcastic with your boss. Your boss is sarcastic. You're sarcastic with the dog and the cat. You're just sarcastic. You wake up, you look in the mirror in the morning getting ready for work, and you're sarcastic to that person that's standing by you. But just sarcastic. Listen, it may be funny, but you guys know what I'm talking about. It's easy to get sarcastic. It's easy to start nitpicking. Y'all know what nitpicking is? Yeah. It's easy. And it's our culture has changed. But it's time we begin to change our culture. Back to the things of God. A poverty will come like a bandit. Sarcastic like an armed man. Proverbs 6:6 says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise." And we've heard all kinds of messages on the ant. Colossians 3:23 says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not as unto man." Okay, you ready for this? Take a deep breath. Reach over and touch your neighbor and say, "You need to listen to this. You need to listen to this." If you see someone nodding off, shake them real hard. Say, "You need to listen to this." We have used the word complacency so very much, haven't we? How many has used the word complacency? We've heard the church is getting complacent. You know what complacency really means? Complacency, glad you asked, I'm going to tell you. Complacency is marked by an attitude and a spirit of self-satisfaction. You're just good. But the rest of that is, it's accompanied by a total unawareness of the actual dangers that's around you. Did you all get that? You need to write that down. You need to grab a hold of that and realize that's exactly where the church world is today. Complacency is marked by self-satisfaction, especially when it's accompanied by an unawareness of the actual dangers or even the deficiencies that's around about us. Hey, I could preach on that for about the next 45 minutes to an hour. That's exactly where we are today. We are accompanied by dangers. We're accompanied by spiritual deficiencies. And we are totally unaware. And we're folding our hands and we're saying, "Hey, everything's all right. There ain't no need to move on. We're just doing good, hunky-dory." But we are accompanied with the unawareness that dangers are all around about us. And the deficiencies for spiritual lives have depleted. Proverbs 1:32 says, "For the backsliding of the simple shall slay them, and the careless ease of self-confident fools shall destroy them." We've heard the story. We've read it. We've heard it preached in Matthew 25 of the five wise and the five foolish virgins. Five of them were wise and five were foolish. And the foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Listen. They took their lamps, but they didn't make any provisions. No provisions for the longevity. Most of us would agree that when 1999 was embarking and 2000 was coming upon us, Y2K, we thought for sure the Lord would come before that would totally fulfill. How many's with me? You knew that? Or you felt that? You was pretty sure that Y2K was going to be it. Guess what? 21 years later, and we still have no oil in our lamps. 21 years later, we're still sleeping under the stars, and the sun's coming up. While the bridegroom tarried, we are in a state that the bridegroom is tarrying. They all slumber and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, and behold, the bridegroom comes and goes out to meet him. And all the virgins, all of them, rose up, trimmed their lamps, but only five of them had enough to get them through. Let me repeat myself again. I felt the check of my spirit when I said that. 21 years later, and we still have no oil. We're still struggling. While those five went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. In the face of danger, we still sleep. Folks, listen to me. Listen to me. As your pastor, there is nothing more than I desire for you to make heaven your home. But I can't make you be diligent about the coming of the Lord. I can only preach to you, but you're going to have to be the one to shake yourself and let yourself know that in this hour we cannot be complacent, because there is dangers all around us. Listen, we do not need to fear, we do not need to worry, but we do need to be prepared. Somebody write that down, please. You don't need to worry, you don't need to fear, but you do need to be prepared. Listen, folks, we're burning daylight. We've allowed the devil to sabotage our relationship with God. We've allowed the devil to sabotage our relationship with others. We were told in Hebrews 10:25 not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Why? Because we need each other. We need the fellowship. We need the strength of each other. Brother Hood, you should have preached that message after I preached this one. We need the strength of each other. We need the fellowship of each other. It is vital that we experience corporate worship. I said, it is vital that we experience corporate worship. Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. You can worship God at home, and you need to. You can praise God at home, and you need to. You can praise God on your job, and you need to. You can praise God at Walmart, and you need to. But we need corporate worship. There are times like these when we're all alone. And it's important and imperative that we do get it together on our own. To pull ourselves up by our own shoelaces. It's like right now, church, we need to realize that fear and complacency has bound us to destroy us. There was a time that when King David had to encourage himself in the Lord. There's times in our life that we do experience that aloneness, but we don't have to stay there. What I'm fixing to tell you now does not disqualify what I just told you. We've got to have corporate worship. But there is times that you're going to have to learn to stand on your own. Hello? There is times that you need enough oil in your lamps, and you need enough reserve that no matter what comes your way, you can still stand on your own. David encouraged himself in the Lord. They went out to war to defeat the enemy. They come back home to Ziklag, and the city, their whole city had been burned with fire, and their women and their children, their wives had all been taken captive, and you know that story very well. But the one thing that really grabs my attention to that, it's when things are really bad, it seems like everybody turns on each other. Hello? In all my years, in all my 23 years, I wish. Come on, lighten up. Lighten up. It's still early. Fried chicken ain't even on yet, okay? It's still early. In all my years, coming up on 38 years of pastoring, I'm almost as old as Brother Ronnie Wright, and man, that's old. I'm just a few months away from catching him. I have seen it over and over again. And it goes back to what I'm talking about. We worry. We get back in the corner. We become complacent. Anxiety fills in and we start turning on each other. Like a house full of chickens. I've shared this with you before, but I'll have to share it again. Dad raised breeder hens. And they wasn't nothing more meaner than an old rooster that had been cooped up with a bunch of hens. Some of you are taking that a lot farther than it needed to go. I'm telling you. And even the hens, if one of them would get hurt and have a bloody spot on it, the rest of them would pick that chicken to death. You'd think they'd call Dr. Quinn or somebody, but they would literally kill that other chicken. One like them. They would destroy them. And that's exactly the way we are. If we don't stay in tune with God, if we don't walk in the Spirit, and we allow those things, and we have allowed these things to come upon us, we've allowed that Spirit to try to drown us. We've been burning daylight, sound asleep, complacent. We just go with the flow. But I'm here to tell you it's time that we rise as a mighty army. It's time that we encourage ourselves in the Lord. And that's what stands out to me the most in this passage of Scripture, that while David was going through his own remorse, he had two of his wives that was taken captive. Maybe if he had just had one, it wouldn't have been so bad. But he had both of them. And his children. And all the other men lost their wives, their children. They was all gone. But instead of coming together, man, listen, this is good right here. Instead of coming together, we begin to bicker and complain and accuse one another. They even talked about stoning David. After all he had done for them, after all that God has done for us, and then we want to crucify each other. It's because while we should have been busy for the Lord, we've been burning daylight. Hello? It's time we encourage ourselves in the Lord. David had to find a place, Brother Aaron. He had to find a place. Brother Larry, he had to find a place to get alone and encourage himself in the Lord. I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can you imagine all the different psalms that David wrote that was going through his mind at that particular time in his life? And he may not have written a bunch of them then, but they may have caused him to write them, whichever it may be. But he had to encourage himself in the Lord. Encourage himself in the Lord. David was greatly distressed. They spake of stoning him, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. We're burning daylight in the latter hours of our life. Proverbs 24:33-34 says, and yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come as a robber, and your want as an armed man. Revelation chapter 16, verse 15, Christ said that he would come as a thief in the night. Do you know what? There is not a one of us has one excuse for not being prepared. That's what Charlie Brown told Lucy, or was it Lucy told Charlie Brown? No excuse for not being properly prepared. I'm here to tell you today, there's not one excuse for us not to be properly prepared. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 9:37, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the workers are few. You know why? Because we've been burning daylight sleeping. We can't afford to be rocked to sleep in these last hours. We can't afford for our families to go to sleep. We can't afford for our fellow man to waste away and die and go to hell while heaven is so close. Church, we cannot afford to become comfortable and complacent, lethargic and asleep, with dangers all around about us, when we have the answers and the hope to a lost and dying world through God's precious Word. Would you stand with me all over the building today? And this, with this message, I pray the Holy Ghost will permeate upon your hearts and upon your minds, with every possibility for whosoever will to come and pour your heart out to God. I give you this song today. No doubt about it, that we're in an age where the lambs are being led to the slaughter. I ask you today, what's your response? Are you concerned about your soul? Are you concerned about where you're at spiritually enough that you're willing to postpone dinner or whatever it may be to talk to the Savior? Well, I don't necessarily have to go to the altar. No, you don't necessarily have to. But there's a call going out. Midnight cry is almost upon us.